I'm here with Mark Begich, the Democrat incumbent for U.S. Senate. He's joining us by phone today from Anchorage. Thanks for being with us, Senator Begich.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad to be able to talk to you about what's going on in the campaign, but thank you very much.
Yeah, and so you're in Anchorage today, but your campaign has really been targeting rural communities over the last couple of months. You have offices on the ground, and you have volunteers all the way to St. Paul Island in the Pribilofs. Can you explain why it's so important to you to campaign in those rural communities?
Well, I think it's important that all Alaskans are at the table when it comes to this election. I think there's a lot of campaigns that ignore rural Alaska. I have never ignored rural Alaska, always engaged both as a senator, as a former mayor of Anchorage, as well as just, as you know, our deep history in our family from my father who served in Congress. All this is really ingrained in me that, you know, for a healthy state, you need both urban and rural working together.
Your opponent, Dan Sullivan, has come out and made some comments about earmarks for capital projects, and he said he doesn't think they're necessary if congressmen are doing a good enough job explaining the need for the projects to their colleagues. I wanted to ask if you agree with that.
Well, I think Dan Sullivan doesn't understand how earmarks work, and also just convincing your colleagues. Well, you can convince your colleagues, but if you don't support earmarks, you convince them for no purpose because there's no money. We're very fortunate. Alaska has two members on the Appropriations Committee, both myself and Senator Murkowski. The reason we're both on there or could be on there is because one's a Democrat, one's a Republican. It's very rare to have both from the same state, but I can tell you what will never happen because it's never happened in the history of this country. We will never have two from the same state from the same party. That means that Dan Sullivan is not going to be able to be on the Appropriations Committee ever. And so we will lose 50% of the power that we have on appropriations if I'm not sent back to Washington. The power and clout we have is critical. For example, the last 6 years for Alaska, since I've been in office, we've been able to bring back almost $35 billion of grants, loans, direct services by the federal government. I supported the stimulus bill, which was probably the single biggest earmark, $2.6 billion coming back to Alaska.
And one of the big projects that could potentially be coming up is the opening of a permanent deep water port for the Arctic. How do you think we should go about trying to establish that if you are reelected?
Absolutely. First off, as chair of the Fisheries and Coast Guard Committee, it falls under my jurisdiction in signing through authorization bill their plans for these kinds of activities. 2 years ago, the bill that we passed put in a lot of language about Arctic deepwater port study, but we also need, besides a deepwater port, we're going to need a couple ports that will be not as deep, obviously, shallow ports, but they'll be designed for situations where the ships may run into problems that they can be set aside while the weather changes in a positive way. But we also have a couple more ports that may be existing now that need to be improved and or additional to make sure we can handle all the traffic that's starting to move through the Bering Strait. Mm-hmm. So the Arctic is very important. And this is, again, a big difference between myself and Dan Sullivan. He has a lot of paper plans and ideas that he's talking about, but action is what counts. And we've been very successful in moving forward.
I know that, you know, a set of Arctic-specific offshore drilling regulations are in the works, and those should be dropping sometime next year. There have been some reports that Shell is already asking for some of the safety requirements within that plan to be relaxed. How do we ensure that Arctic drilling happens safely, if it's going to happen at all?
Well, I've had two hearings that I've held with Shell, as well as with the federal government and others, on the responsibility of protecting and developing the Arctic in the right way. And I think Shell recognizes in order for them to be successful, they're going to have the rules that are a little more higher standards than anywhere in the country. And I think they've been working to achieve that. But part of my role as chair of that committee is to make sure they do that. And you can rest assured I'm going to keep on them. If Dan Sullivan is sent to Washington, he will be number 100 out of 100 senators and will not have a seat on this committee and or even the chairmanship of this committee. This is the Fisheries and Coast Guard Committee, which is the Oceans Committee. As chair of this committee, I have great capacity to make sure it's done the right way and use my clout and influence to make sure Alaska's interests are taken care of.
There was a story that came out in the Alaska Dispatch News that looked at some contributions you'd received for your campaign and also for a political action committee that supports you from business entities associated with groundfish harvesters. And this would be the Amendment 80 fleet fishing for mackerel and other species that aren't pollock. The reporter makes mention of a piece of legislation you introduced to provide some economic safeguards for the Amendment 80 fleet. Can you explain why you proposed that legislation and what the intent was?
2 years ago, we resolved this issue, and the challenge is we now have some legal actions that are being taken place that don't allow the ships that they want to construct, and also AFA has, there's some ships that they want to sell into the Amendment 80 group. And the Amendment 80 group is nervous that AFA will come in and take some of their quota. So we had this all resolved 2 years ago. We're trying to clean up that language to make sure that's clear, that the Amendment 80 folks have their share, what they have, and the AFA has their share, that there's not a, you know, kind of a cannibalizing each other. One of the concerns that people have is if you tweak any language for the Amendment 80 folks, will that lock in their halibut bycatch, which is a problem? And the answer is absolutely not. The bycatch issues, the quota issues, all that still are dealt with by the North Pacific Fisheries Council. We're going to make sure that whatever we do is not going to impact in a negative way anything we're doing that protects Alaska's fisheries and Alaska-based fisheries.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for this opportunity.
That's Senator Mark Begich, the Democrat running for re-election to the United States Senate.